So tell me about Brian.
Yeah, you can pick.
So Brian, he's caring for his brother, and his brother had a massive stroke last summer, completely out of the blue. And at that time, Brian was living on his own in Holland on a boat and had this really exciting, very independent life, and got a phone call from his brother's boss, who had found the brother collapsed at home, which was completely out of character, because apparently his brother was a very reliable employee, was never late, never missed a day, and his staff members and colleagues were worried about him after over a day, which is actually quite shocking, really, that his brother was on his own for a significant amount of time before he was found. And it was because his boss went to his home and beat the door down with the police, and they found him, thankfully still alive. And he was admitted to hospital and spent over 6 months in hospital, having various stages of rehabilitation as the time went on. So during that time, Brian got a call, distress call, from his brother's boss. Is there any way you can come and see your brother and see what you think you can do to help, but really to take on the role of becoming a carer? So Brian arrived in Bexley from Holland with no home, very few belongings, because everything had been on a boat, and moved into his brother's one-bedroom flat, which was cramped and hadn't been very well kept, from what I understand, and set about transforming his brother's flat before his brother could come home. So there was a lot going on behind the scenes before that stage actually arrived. Thankfully, at some point, he found our number, and I've still never found out how he contacted us, but when he phoned us, the first conversation was really, really tough, because he was really defensive and really fed up, very isolated, very low, would often use terms like feeling completely overwhelmed, felt very lonely, felt very dumped upon, and was completely drowning in this expectation that his brother had come home from hospital. And because he'd been asked to do the caring role, he was just now going to have to get on with it. And it was a bit of tough luck, really, if he didn't want to. And that's not untypical for us to hear that from our carers. So that's kind of, yeah, Brian's story for the beginning part. Yeah.
And so how did you support Brian?
So we started off, talking about struggles, actually, that word, he was probably quite a struggle as a person to deal with to begin with, because he was so defensive. And it took 3 or 4 conversations initially on the phone, and then finally we agreed to go around and see him. And it was more probably about him agreeing to seeing us, because he was just anti-everybody by this stage. The local authority had been rubbish, the hospital had discharged his brother, he felt too early, there weren't enough aids and adaptations in the home. But we did get round there, 2 of us went round, and were able to very slowly work with him and make him aware that there was help and there is help in the borough. But it was a question of really working with him and finding out what was most important in that first meeting, which really was practical help, actually, around having some kind of hoisting equipment in the house so that he could move his brother safely. And since then, it's become more about inviting him to a group. Since then, we've been able to help with an application for rehousing, because his brother's privately renting a flat. But now we've spoken to the local authority about them hopefully having social housing that they rent together. Filling out an application for a blue badge form, filling out an application for attendance allowance. So it's slowly, it's led to other services coming into play. Yeah.
So how did Brian's situation improve with all of this support?
Well, the lovely thing for us is that now he will use terms like calling us angels, and he has said that, but myself and my colleague, and when he's been into our groups as well, he's said that. But it's, I think the best thing is really it's about realising that he has seen that there is light at the end of the tunnel. Things take time and things don't happen quickly. I don't know if our borough is particularly different from others, but you do need to have a lot of patience. And that was hard for him. But I think that he's beginning to realise that and accept that. So I feel he's more at peace maybe with what is going on in his life. And he's realising that things are not going to happen overnight, but it will all come together. And hopefully then, in a few months' time, it will just be more settled. Yeah.
So how can we help other people like Brian in this situation?
I think by continuing to raise awareness of the charity. So I think we're in a great position. We've got so much knowledge between us and so much awareness of what does go on in the borough and the good that can be done. We have support groups that people can come to within our own remits of our own charity as well, and specific services that people can tap into. We can give breaks for carers, helping with welfare benefit claims. We have emotional support that we can offer people. So it's just about continuing to get the message out and working with people and helping them realise that a difference can be made. It's not doesn't happen overnight, and that's tough for people to accept. But I think as a charity, we're lucky. I feel we've got a great group of people who at least somebody can talk to, and people will tell us that that can make enough of a difference on its own. So it's a great starting point. Yeah.
Great.